All that didn't get recorded. But anything below his shoulders, the back of his neck, was fair game. And the reason they came, they don't want you to do this again. It bruises to the bone. It bruises the bone itself. It is the most deepest bruise you can get. I've had a couple of them, and they hurt. And they take a long time to heal. This is the beating Jesus took. He didn't just end up with a little bruise here, a little bruise here. Not only did they beat him with a whip and receive 39 stripes, they beat him with a cane so that it was already sore before. He couldn't stand to be touched. The Bible says he bore this. That is the belief of why it could not be atoned for. It had to be borne. Okay? Let me read you a little something. The Hebrew word, and by the way, I don't know if I'd get crazy about it, but the Hebrew word avon, translated iniquity. If you use avon, you're not going to hell, okay? Just stating. But translated iniquity refers to how our heart, deep down, the deepest part of us, that's our temperament, disposition, inclination, and loyalties, how they fall short of God's standards. We are imperfect and flawed, irregardless or of if we have committed any offenses in God's eyes or are set apart for God. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I have kept all the commandments. Well, what do you need to do? What do I need to do to be saved? Jesus said, sell what you've got and follow me. What happened? Jesus hit the problem with him. He hit so deep that it bruised this young man to his core. Jesus hit the iniquity. He was outstanding on the outside. He did things. He built things. He kept all the laws. But there was something else that controlled him. And that's what we're talking about. The deep down inside. If you notice every one of the things listed in that video that Jesus had on him, they were things that actually manifest on the outside. Depression being one of them, among many others. Thief. Feelings of uselessness. All of that stuff is a manifestation of something inside. That is the heart of the problem, folks. Why do people steal? There's something inside. You know, Angela and I were talking the other day just about, you know, when we were in school. And we can stand back now knowing what we know about the Word and about people. And we look back and we see, I see now why that girl felt it was necessary to sleep around. Anybody want to guess? She was receiving absolutely no love, particularly from her father. So she felt the only love she could get was sexually. These are all deep-rooted problems. They are the iniquities that Jesus bore upon him. Another part of Hebrew tradition of the Jews, whatever, however you want to word it, was the scapegoat. We've all heard about somebody being the scapegoat. Always got to be a scapegoat. Jesus became that scapegoat. That's why it says he bore our sins. See, in the tabernacle, the temple, there was always imperfection because it was here and it was man. In heaven, there is no imperfection. There is no iniquity. The high priest would come up to the altar. He would offer sacrifices or atonement for the manifestations of the sin. But there was no atonement for the iniquities. So he bore all of this in a place on his turban. And once a year, at Yom Kippur, they would take a goat. And all this stuff would be placed upon that goat. And this goat would be led out into the wilderness to a cliff, 12 miles outside of Jerusalem. And at this cliff, they were to shove this goat off the cliff. The goat would die a painful death. And upon this goat, they would take a scarlet thread. They'd cut it in half. The high priest would keep one half. The other half would be tied to the horns. And when the piece that the high priest had in his hand turned white, the goat was dead. 40 years before Israel went into captivity again, they quit practicing the scapegoat. They quit doing it. They didn't think it was doing anything, costing them a goat. 40 years before, they decided God's way didn't work. And so the scarlet thread was never cleaned again. It was never atoned. It was never borne out. As the video stated earlier, those things are all because of things that happened to us. That's why it is not about what you're doing, but a deeper problem. And by the way, I want to point out, some of you may not have been able to see all the things absolutely clearly, but the woman who revealed the one on her collarbone, it said self-righteous. I want you to know that is a major, major, major problem in the church. It's self-righteousness. There's so many others. But at the heart of most of this is rebellion. Rebellion to God. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. I've shared with you in times past about my rebellion, how I rebelled against God. I left. I joined the Marines to get away from God. But I got to tell you, even in my rebellion, I have paid a price. I have paid a price for what I've done. Every man that I told that I was a believer and they saw how I was living knew that it wasn't worth it. I pay a dearly price for that. I live with a regret. Don't ever tell me you don't live with regrets. You live with them every day. But I'm not going to let it bring me down. I do not live under condemnation. But I regret being that stupid and that arrogant. But God knew I was going to have to break. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a fun spiral. But there is the price that has to be paid for all of that. And as I've been thinking on this, and you know, even with things that I've seen in people's lives, I keep looking back. Why are they still held by that? They shout that they're free, but yet they are bound to keep coming back to the same thing over and over. Proverbs said, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool to his folly. It's foolish to put your burden, to put your iniquities on a scapegoat. Let the goat go die. Go back down to the bottom of the hill, pick it back up and carry it again as a badge of honor. You're a dog that just returned to your vomit. Anybody like going back to your vomit? I don't even like cleaning it. I don't like doing it. Let alone going back to it. That's how disgusting God says it is to him. When we go back to the things that we know better. All of those things he bore. But we cannot let them go. We hold on to them. This is my safety net. You've heard me tell you before. I'll tell you, depression is one of them. Some people find comfort in being depressed. It's the only thing they've known. They're comfortable in that. Just like a slave. There were slaves that did not want to be free because they were comfortable. We have created a whole new society of slaves today called welfare recipients. They don't want to go get jobs. They're comfortable. Why should they? We feed them. We take care of them. We house them. We raise their children. They don't want to get a job because they're comfortable in that. They will gladly live with the stigma because we've taken away the stigma. Welfare has a purpose. It's to help those who need help, not to create a society of people living on it. And it is not a sin if you need it. But now all they got to do is walk through with a card just like you're using your bank card. Listen, don't get comfortable living a torturous life. You've got to be uncomfortable. You've got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've got to be fed up with being depressed. You've got to be fed up with feeling useless. You've got to quit listening to what others say about you. Who cares what they say about you? Well, you're weird. No, in my eyes, I'm normal. You're the weird one. Do you know how many, for all the years I've grown, at my highest, I was 5'8". Thanks to the Marine Corps, I shrunk. And if my parents and grandparents are any indication, I got to stay out of the dryer, you know what I'm saying? My grandma was only this tall. She made Barbie look really tall, okay? But for all those years, people would say, you're short. Do you want to really agitate somebody who can hit you below the belt and you never see it coming? Do you? Do you really want to agitate the person who can take out your kneecaps? My opinion, no. But people, you're short. I joined the Marine Corps, and guess what I found out? I am the norm. You're a freak. You get it? You're just taller. So what? I don't bump my head on a lot of things. It's got benefits, doesn't it, you tall guys? I can go to any store I want and buy my pants. There was a time in life I could even go to the little boy section and buy pants. That time has long since sailed. I think I was 21 the last time I did that. But you see, we keep caring about what people think about us. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. Ooh. You got doo-doo on you. That's the way they treat you, right? All your friends, as soon as you got saved, what happened? If you were really saved. I mean, you said a prayer and you meant it. Not just a prayer of convenience to get somebody off your back. But the second you quit acting like a moron, they don't want anything to do with you. My drinking buddies didn't want anything to do with me anymore. Well, Woody's not going to go out drinking with us anymore. We ain't going to hang out with him. You know what? I don't need you. By the way, all my drinking buddies are now divorced. Sounds like a good group to be hanging out with, right? And here I thought I wanted to be like them. But you see, the way that word, the Hebrew word translates, it tells us there are things we're born predisposed to. Are you hearing me? There are things you were born predisposed to. Sexual perversions, which includes homosexuality, promiscuousness, all of that. You were predisposed to. That is an iniquity. It's a problem deep in. Alcoholism, addiction, depression, all of that is deep within, and it's something that needs to be dealt with. But you've got to put it on Jesus once and for all and really believe what he says about you. About 2 years ago, I dealt with some depression of my own. I had no clue what it was. I didn't want to live. Wasn't going to kill myself. But if anybody's noticed, my motorcycle went right after that too. Because I'll tell you why. I found myself pushing the three-digit number often. 100 miles an hour on two wheels is suicide. And I didn't care. I didn't care. I was going to leave my family. But you know what? I did go to the doctor and say, well, you know, and I didn't tell them any of the things, because the second you tell somebody you're depressed, they want to put you on medication and, oh, you need to go spend some time in a padded room for a while. Listen, dude, I'm not going to kill myself. I might kill you before I kill myself, but if you keep agitating me. But that's where you get, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't believe in being fake. Nobody learns anything from phonies, do you? Except how to be phony. So I didn't, they said, well, you got some things out of balance here. Let's try to get these things worked out. But here's the thing. When I started to realize, I actually listened to Shonda Pierce, Christian comedian. She talked about it. She dealt with it. They got her on medication. It only deals with the symptoms. It doesn't deal with the issue. I said, God, I don't want to be stuck on medication. I don't want to be controlled by pharmaceuticals. I said, God, I believe you can fix this once I recognized what I was dealing with. I believe you can fix this. And you know what? God fixed it. If I'm going to have a time to be depressed, it'd be right now during the government shutdown. Okay, those of you know, I can't sell my house because the people are getting a government-backed loan. I'm not depressed. I'm confident that my Lord and Savior is going to work this to my good. But you see, I started looking back at my family, and there's things that they all deal with. And I said, I'm done dealing with this. I'm not going to be like that. Not because of anything special I did or special or great. I turned it over to Jesus and let him have it, and I let him keep it because he was the only one that could bear it. By the way, finish the rest of the story about the scapegoat. The belief is when the goat went down, they were carried into Sheol, which is the place of the dead, hell. It had to be carried back to hell where it came from. Where did Jesus spend 3 days? In hell. Every time he was bruised, he came out, folks. There were only five. Five wounds on his body. There was not one bruise, not one rip from that whip. He had the nail scars in his hands and his feet and the wound in his side. That was it. That's all he came out with, and that's what he still has today. But he left it. He left it in hell. Why don't we? Just because my grandfather died an alcoholic in his 50s does not mean me or my children have to do that. Just because my grandfather was a pervert doesn't mean I have to be one. Just because your grandfather, your grandmother whatever they did, just because they were that way does not mean that you have to be. By the way, you got the things that you're dealing with from them, so don't keep looking at them like they were perfect. That's self-righteousness. Let's be real. Oh, grandma was a saint. Grandpa was a saint. Why do you think you act the way you do? It's because of grandma and grandpa. It came down the chain. Do you know how many times I be with my aunts or uncles? I'm not with my dad's side of the family. Well, neither side much, really. But with my dad's side of the family, and they say, Dad used to do the same thing that you're doing. I was 4 when my grandpa died. I wasn't around him enough to learn his traits. It's inherited. Every last one of my dad's brothers and sisters to this day, they'll go around and they'll pick up things off the floor. You know, a little string off the carpet, a piece of paper that fell. They're walking around. It'll drive you batty, to be honest with you. Sit down. But it drives them nuts until they pick that thing up off the floor. And you know why? Because it's what my grandpa did. Those are just some of the mild things. But like I said, you need to understand the deeper things. They came from there too. Yeah, we look great on the outside, but how about we deal with what's in the inside? Because that's where we're being judged. The outside is just a manifestation of what's happening inside. And if you're living in sin, you're doing things that you know is not right, it's because you need to deal with things inside. You've got to face them. And you have got to say, I'm done. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God will not hold us guiltless. Because even the Bible says that when we continue to do something and we know better, then there is no more sacrifice. It's not that the blood of Jesus didn't cover it the first time. It's you took it back out from underneath the sacrifice and chose to grab hold on, hold on to it. But we can no longer keep living like that. Like there's a chain. We get so far. I see people, they get so far. They're just trucking along, and all of a sudden they're just like a dog. It's actually kind of fun sometimes to stand right at the edge where you know the dog can get. And he comes, rah, 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 rah. That's what they do. They come running out, they're charging, rah, and then they hit the end of that leash. That's what we're like when we hold on to the iniquities, when we won't let God take the thing and cast it into hell and leave it there. That's why we keep going back to our vomit. It's the only way we know. We're comfortable in it. We enjoy the leash. Instead of disciplining ourselves to stay in the yard, to not chase people down the sidewalk, we choose to stay on the leash. But here's the problem. The thing that's holding the anchor point is not supposed to be in our life. It's supposed to be gone. We were supposed to let it go once and for all. So if you want to know why you keep going back, it's because of the iniquity. You're holding on to it. You're comfortable in it. You may know people, but you see it all the time in the movies. You got somebody that's either trying to quit drinking, quit smoking, whatever it is, and then they hit a stressful situation. They aren't in control anymore, and they just got to have a drink. They just got to have a hit off that cigarette, right? And once they get it, they're cool. But guess what? It's a chain back to the addiction that you broke. And you've got to break those things. Anger is the same point. People love living angry. Why? Is it really fun to be mad all the time? No, it's not. I'll tell you right now. Your teeth get flattened out or ground out. Your hairline disappears. You're stressed out. And you're no fun to be around. The one buddy I talked about, I think I've mentioned him before, but he had a major anger issue. I remember one night he came back. We'd had a 4-day weekend, and he came back to Jacksonville, and he was needed some help putting a window out. And it was a brand new car. I said, "Why do you need a new window?" He said, "Because I busted the other one out, a side window." I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "My wife made me mad, and I went to punch her through the window." By the way, they weren't married much longer. But the hilarious part is they knew exactly where to come to try to get help, but it was after it was too late. She said, "I'm done with you. You're not going to change." And he didn't. Why? Because he was comfortable in his temper. But the truth of the matter is he didn't control it. It controlled him. He could be a great guy to be around, but I'll tell you right now, if something didn't go right in the shop and you heard him start to cuss, you just better get your helmet on and hide, because he was throwing whatever was in his hand across the shop. He nearly got rode up for it. But he was a great mechanic. Didn't matter what it was, a bolt break or strip off, and he was mad. Ring, there went the wrench right across the shop. There was more than two of us in the shop. So what do we do about it? We declare that we're breaking it, that we're not holding on to the iniquity any longer. Listen, this is a great example. Thank you, Lord. If you've got an open sore and it's pussing and oozing, nasty, stinky, okay, you get in the picture? Because that's what sin is. The outward manifestations are stinky, they're nasty, they're pussy. There's a deeper reason. You can keep dealing with the topical issue, but you got to go in and find the other issue. Okay? I worked with a woman who one day she got a little sliver of wire. I mean, just a fine sliver. And it was more of the solder. I worked over here at Cosmo, and we injected the tabs onto these things for the coils. And she got a piece of that in her finger one day, and she couldn't get out. Got the magnifying glass and the tweezers, and I'm trying to get it out. I couldn't get it out. She just couldn't get it out and figured, well, it'll just work its way out. Like a week later, finger turned purple, started turning black. She went to the emergency room. She ended up losing the finger. You can deal with the discoloration. You can deal with all that. But until you get the thing out of there, it's going to cause you real problems. I mean, it ate into the bone. By the way, it was nasty. The chemicals on it, you shouldn't have had in your body. That's why it did that. That's why we have to deal. That's why Jesus said, judge yourselves. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But here's what we do. We sit up here and say, well, Rob, you're this, and this. This is why you're like you are. Katie, Sean, on down the line. We sit there and we judge everybody else. We can look and judge everybody else's problems, but we refuse to look in the mirror. We refuse to judge ourselves by the same standard that we judge everybody else. Or, here's the other one. I'm just going to let everybody do whatever, and I'm not going to live for what's right. That's not an excuse either. You got to stand for something. We won't go and break out into song, but. But you see, if we do not deal with the deeper issues, it'll kill us. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin, they are death. We either deal with it or it kills us, and that's that. Spiritually, my rebellion was killing me. Physically, my drinking and my recklessness was going to kill me. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, it was sheer grace of God that I lived on several occasions. Came out without a scratch. Did things, done things, seen things. Physically, I came out without a scratch. Emotionally, inside, I was tore up. So if you decide to judge somebody, judge yourself. Start with yourself, and then you can help other people. But here's the thing, when you start, and you probably all heard this, well, you know, I mean, I dealt with this, so I know what you're going through. Don't you judge me. Only God can judge me. I'm trying to help you. I just told you I did the same things, and it doesn't go anywhere good. You know, Pat and I hunt together. And if Pat tells me that there's a tree down over the path that we usually take, and he says, go this way, I'm going to go the way Pat said, because otherwise, I got to deal with the stupid tree. So you go with somebody who has been down that road. And that is your greatest ministry. That's how you minister. I dealt with hatred. And I learned to forgive. I dealt with anger. And I learned to give compassion. All of those things go deep down. Everything. And like I said, and it's not because your ancestors were all a bunch of, well, some of them may have been, I don't know. May have been total heathens. Like I said, you keep running mine back, and they were druids. They like to build big rock thingies and on islands that nobody has any idea how to do today or why they did it. It goes back. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. And you can say a prayer to break every generational curse in your life, but until you drop it, until you kick it out, you're going to keep dealing with it. If you open up your door, folks, and some mangy mutt comes running in your house, covered in poo and mud, and he just starts shaking himself, are you going to stand there and let him do it? And if you are, you've got some problems. You need some help. No. You escort that dog right back out, and if you decide to bring him in, you will clean him up, train him, but you don't come in and tear up what you've worked so hard to clean up. That's why Jesus said, be careful. When you cast out a spirit, it goes around looking for a new home. But he said, what happens is it finds it ain't got a home. You were designed for him. He built that home. So what he does is he comes back. But on his way back, he picks up a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of envy, a little bit of pride. He brings back some more. All you had a problem with was lying. Your problems just got exponentially bigger. So don't think that you're just going to, yep, I'm going to just keep going back and forth. You know, I'm just going to keep doing this dual lifestyle. Listen, when you ride a fence, you never rarely fall on the right side. You usually fall off on the wrong side. And anytime I ever tried to walk a fence, yeah. Guys know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like when you first learned what that bar in the middle of your bicycle was for. It ain't there for support. They're trying to create the new boys' choir permanently. I've heard girls do the same thing, so. We get hurt is the point. When we try to straddle things that we shouldn't be, we get hurt. And we still fall off. So don't be afraid to say, you know what? I'm judging myself in this. I want free from this. I'm tired of lust. I'm tired of envy. I'm tired of jealousy. I'm tired of lying. I want to deal with the problem. Usually lying is self-preservation, by the way, which is self-righteousness. Well, Pastor, not every lie is about protecting. You just don't know when to stop. I know liars, they just don't know when to shut up. They just contradicted the lie they told 2 seconds ago. Everything becomes a habit. When it becomes its habit, it becomes your character. And you don't want it to carry on. That's why we have to deal with the things. Okay? Let's stand. Jesus became that scapegoat for us. He carried those things out. You do not have to live by them anymore. They don't control you. That's why the apostle said, all things. When you have accepted Christ, you become a new creature. The old Art, the old Angel, the old Maggie, the old Rick, they passed away. And a new one was put in. A new one with new characteristics. Physically, I'm the same person. I got the same scars that I had before. I'm the same outward. But as I've let Christ take over, I'm not the same person inside. Because if you think I'm a little bit extreme now, can you imagine me not saved? And it's only come about, my change has only happened because I've let Christ do the work in me that needed to be done. I beg you. If you want prayer, I'll pray with you over it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is a personal issue. You need to go home and you need to hit your knees. Wherever you connect with God at, I used to connect with God in the woods. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a wife. Well, he sent me to the Marine Corps. Imagine that. He sent me. I thought I was doing it on my own. But as you do that, as you start letting him change you, you're going to find the battles get easier. And you can stand up to it. And if you want to know what you got to face, look at your family. Okay? Your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your parents. Everything, not everybody deals with the same thing, but I need you to understand. You will look across the gamut. Well, this one's like this one, da 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 da, and so forth and so on. You have the potential for all of them. That's why I encourage you never to judge somebody. You do not have to be, I've said it before, you do not have to be your father or your mother or your grandfather or your uncle or your aunt. That is your choice. There was a time in life I was free will Baptist. You know what that means? It means you have a free will to choose. It's up to you. And that's what I believe, that everybody has a will to choose. It's not up to me. I can stand up here and talk to you all day long until I'm blue in the face and you're numb from the shoulders down. Actually, you'll probably go numb from the ears up before anything else happens. So I'm asking you seriously. When you go home, challenge yourself. Look in the mirror and say, God, what about me? Judge yourself rightly by the Word. When you get in the Word and you see, okay, this is how I'm acting. This is what I'm doing. This is not right. Transgression's not right just because there's an iniquity. But I'm going to tell you, you can deal with all this out here. If you don't deal with what's here, this is going to come back. You need to deal with this and why you're doing it. Why did I drink? Because I was trying to run from God. I was trying to run from everybody that I knew. And if I could get numb, I was happy. And you know what? I kind of liked the guy that I found. Drinking does reveal something in you. Because I found a guy who was a little more courageous, a little more fun to be around. But then I made a discovery. That guy was always there. I was keeping him hidden. I was keeping him reserved because in my family, we have a big issue with what people think about us and we think people don't like us. And I said, you know what? I can be fun. I can do crazy, stupid things. And I do them often. I have some spurring on from time to time from people in the back row. But you see, I learned to live. I learned to have fun. But it was only when I realized I didn't need the alcohol to do it anymore. My problem was still there when I got up the next morning. Like, man, I thought I drank you away last night. Here you are meeting me, except now my bank account is a lot lower. Deal with it. Don't let another day go by until you deal with this. Make things right. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this message. Lord, again, I thank you for what Jesus did on the cross, for every beating he took for us. Lord God, I pray now that you work in each one of us. Father, you show us in our heart of hearts where we're falling short. That we do not have to walk down the same path that our parents may have or our grandparents. We do not have to live with those things. That we can and will be a success through you. Lord, I pray now that your Holy Spirit rest upon each and every person here today. Father, that when they look in the mirror, they will judge themselves. Because your word says, Father, that the world is already condemned because they've rejected you. Lord, help us not to reject you and become part of the condemned. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. I ask, Father God, that as they go about this week, Father, they do, that they realize how blessed they are, Father, that the businesses that they frequent are blessed because of them. Their households will be blessed. Their places of employment will be blessed because they are there. And Father, I pray that you bring peace to these situations that are arising in their lives, Father. The turmoil at work. That you bring peace to that situation. Father, again, I thank you for these people. I bless them. Lord, I love them, and I pray, Lord, that you help them to realize how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.